This is James Robertson, Syncom Smalltalk Product Evangelist, bringing you another talk from the European Smalltalk Users Group meeting held in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, in August of 2008. Let's pretend that this is real. Let's say this really is the deal. The way you put it. Here's Adrian Kuhn, ESA 2008, talking about his fame metamodeling frame.
Okay. I'm Adrian Kuhn from Switzerland, from University of Bern, and I will talk to you about a metamodeling framework called fame. For those that like to play around with Smalltalk code during talks, you can download it. I know you, right? Now you should get the URL, right? So here you have the URL. There you get a link on a Swift source repository where you can download it, so you can also, maybe during the demo, just follow what I do. And now, fame is a framework that grew out of Moose. So actually, Moose has a kernel that is quite metamodel driven, and then we have taken that kernel and made a framework out of it. And it's for metamodeling at runtime. So. And I will now have some running examples for Red Hawk, which is about how to build an internal beer store. So what do I mean with internal? Internal means an internal application or an internal system is a system that we don't have to shut down to update it. I mean, for us small talkers, I don't have to evangelize that now we know it's an image, we can just do hot swapping and updated it at runtime. So the thing here, the fame metamodeling framework is especially designed for updating your metamodel at runtime. So what does that mean, updating your metamodel at runtime? So the idea is that that your application should grow with your business without any need to restart it or recompile it. At the moment, we might just sell beer. It might be a small store that just sells beer, but maybe one day we will sell speakers or cars, sport cars, I mean, as we get successful, or also cameras. And each time we add a new product to our portfolio, we don't want to have to restart the entire web service. I mean, it's like the internet, it's also an internal application. No one shuts down the internet to update the IP protocol.
Except on the first
paper. Yeah, maybe. Okay, so I will start talk with a little introduction in what modeling, meta-modeling, and meta-meta-modeling actually means, and where the data is spending somewhere. We only talk about models, so, and usually we are used to think of data as programmers, so why is everything called a model? I mean, that's our business object when we sell beer. I mean, that's the business object, not the object in the object space memory. That's the business object, that's what we sell. So, we will just, and it's an instance, so this beer bottle here is an instance of an abstract representation. So we have a concrete object, and here we have an abstract representation. Of course, it's a Heineken, there's a name, an alcohol volume, a price, a size. This here is a model, and that here is a concrete object. And as we might possibly want to sell more than one beer, we can say this beer here is actually also an instance of the even more abstract class beer. And we see it's the same way as a Heineken as a name with concrete value. The abstract class beer has properties, defines all the properties for its instances, so we can have different beer.
But as we know, our goal is to sell sport cars in the end, and cameras, speakers. So we must be more abstract. We might not only want to sell beer, but also sport cars. Sport cars obviously have different properties. So, beer is then an instance of an abstract class. And I write here fame class, because that's a confusing thing when you do meta-modeling. The meta-modeling people have chosen to call their classes also classes. And we are used to think of them also smaller classes. So we always distinguish them by calling it fame class and small talk or host class. Because fame is implemented in at the moment, I think, in 5 languages. So you can also exchange new models with implementations in other languages. And that's actually the structure. We have concrete business objects, and then maybe let's blend away the properties, they're not so important. We have a concrete business object, which we model with an abstract representation. And this abstract representation is also then an instance of the class B, and an instance of the class class, that is itself an instance of itself. Quite familiar to us, obviously, meta class and so on. And that's then the names that we use for these layers. Concrete objects are modeled by our model of our application, and that application, that model conforms to a meta model of our application, and the meta model itself conforms to a meta meta model. It's these 3 layers, that is what we call a tower of models. And that's actually what then is at the core of a meta model driven application. You just interrupt me with questions if you have questions. So, after this little bit of theory, I will dive into how what's the architecture of a typical application that uses the FAME library. And then later on, I will give a demo in screen. So, the typical FAME architecture has, of course, a part that is that uses FAME, and a part then of our application. And, you see again in the center of it the tower of models. So we have a meta-meta model in FAME that is hardwired, so you always have the same meta-meta model, and then your application can define its own model and meta-model. So I will give examples of, for our little beer shop, what that model might look like. So a model for a beer shop will obviously include with its properties. It will include orders. So these are concrete instances. We have here a beer. It's not the div class beer, because it's the model. We are at the model layer, where we have concrete instances. And then we have orders. Here we have 2 orders, and they're all here by customer. Show example that ordered these orders. And then we see we can exchange these models using a special file format with other applications. I call them backend here, but it can also just be another application. And that will then look like this. So that's the file format that we're using. We don't use XML, but this here. And if you can, you will note that you just need to add a hash character in front of it, and then it becomes small but literal. That's also just to make it simpler writing small scripts that work with these data, so you don't have to write a parser. It's actually DSL for exchanging data. We just use this kind of other literal. In the beginning, actually, we used just the small bit parser, but now we have a dedicated parser to make sure that no one can inject there some executable code. And let's go back here. So if this is our model, then there is an according meta model to it, which we see here. So we have a beer class, an order class, and a customer class. And that's all FAME classes, so it's not small talk classes. I will later on talk about the causal connection between smaller classes and faint classes. Because of course we will map the faint classes to smaller classes in some way.
And again, and that's a nice property of the entire system, we can serialize the whole thing using the same file format. And so there's nothing special about being at the metamodel layer, we can just do there the same thing as with the model. So in the same way as we can, for example, you can imagine that we would send this small file here from one application to the other just to process the order, like maybe invoke a service with this order so that it actually gets done and delivered to the customer. But sometimes maybe we have an application where when the meta model changes, when we have the first sport car, then we don't have to update the applications, we can just in the same way also send around meta models so that the applications can communicate about their meta models that they use. And I will later show how we use code generation to on the fly then generate code that models these meta models. This is the same format here. So, and at the top of everything, I mean, this meta model here is another meta model, which is the meta model. That looks like this. So that is the at the top of our application. It's the fixed point here at the top of this tower of models that also conforms to itself. And it's actually.
I couldn't help but notice that the upper corner of the theory is increasing in every slide. Is that a fanatic of the framework or?
That's maybe because I was actually drinking beer while doing the slide. I didn't even know that. Okay.
That's what I'm looking at here.
Okay. The meta model is quite simple. We have packages, we have classes and properties, and actually we have packages we are already more advanced this week. And otherwise, just the usual stuff that you would expect. Classes can inherit from others, properties of types, they can be multi-valued. Have opposites. I will explain that in detail later in the demo. You will see what opposites mean. We have package extensions, so you can extend other people's meta models in the way that we know it as smart. So now the next thing we'll talk about is how these faint classes are causally connected to the smaller classes. And here we come up with this impressive diagram that shows how everything is connected to each other in the running system. So, at the core of everything are your instances. So you just have some instances of your business object that you might want to share with the front or back end. So that these will be the instances for your beers, orders, and customers. And of course they are instances of any host classes, or rather that is any smaller classes, and these smaller classes are connected to FM3 instances. So, I mean, a smaller class is also just an instance of a class, and in the same way, or faint classes are just instances of FM3 class. Maybe that is more visible here, so that we can just annotate in the same way that you have seen it, similar way you've seen it before. We annotate our smaller class and say, okay, this smaller class should correspond to this faint class, and we add the annotations. I will show that later in the demo. And then it uses program processing to make the system aware of its structure, which can then later be used to generate a front or back end for it. And actually, we can navigate here in all directions. So now we had a case where we have existing smaller classes, and we want to get faint classes for it. But sometimes someone else maybe sends you a meta model. That is, you get information about the meta model, but you don't have any smaller classes yet. Then we can load, for example, a an MSE file, we get FN3 instances, and then we can create a refactoring. I mean, code generation in small code should just be called refactorings, because that's what we actually do at runtime. We just apply refactoring that will create our host classes, so that later we can then import the actual model of the data.
This is not behavior preserving, so I did not call it refactoring.
That's true, yeah, it's a change. Actually, it changes it, yeah. Yeah, that's true. This is a nice term, refactor.
Switch a couple of letters here. Factor.
Huh?
Factor, it's not refactor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Okay, yeah. And, of course, at the top, the entire system is bootstrapped by having the implementation of FN3 being self-described, so that you can bootstrap everything. That's actually key. Only this top part is what you have hardwired in your system. Everything else you can load in from MSE files. And we've implemented this very small kernel. We implemented that in Smalltalk, so in VisualWorks and Squeak, in Java, Python, and we're also working on implementations in Ruby and C#. So if you have a frame-based application somewhere, you can start exchanging your data with people having frame-based applications in these other languages. We have done that with Moose because we had other researchers that were collaborating with us that insisted on using Java. So we made an implementation of FN3 initially for that reason. Yeah, I guess it's time for a demo. You heard a lot of meta modeling. So we'll try to make a demo. At least the font is large, right? So what I've done here in this image is that I've loaded. I've here loaded the latest version of Fade that is available at the link that I gave initially. And when you work with FN3 is you create your own tower. So FM is the prefix for all FN3 classes. So we create a new tower. Then we have a complete tower. And we can, let's call it explore, right? We can explore a tower. And you see that tower consists of a model, of a meta model, and of a meta model. The model is empty. The meta model is also empty. You see what the distinction between a meta model and a model is that the meta model has some more caches. So, because otherwise it's just the same at all three levels. And then you see the meta model is initialized with all this. With the complete FM3 meta model. So, we have the FM3 property with all the property FM3 class package. And now what we can do now is we have a tower and only the topmost layer is filled and the other two layers are empty. So the first thing that we will do is import a metamodel that is the description of peer, customer and orders, and then generate classes for that, and then set up a new tower that works on these classes and import a model that is a concrete peer, a Heineken, two orders and our customer show example.
Why a new tower?
Yeah. The first tower we will use for code generation. So that is because of the causal connection of FAME and Smalltalk classes. In the first tower, we have no Smalltalk classes initially that represent our FAME classes. So we just import them, and they are not causally connected to any Smalltalk classes. And when we generate the classes with the refactoring, we've just found it simpler. At the moment, you just then fire up a new tower. Of course, you could update the existing tower. Yeah, it's just not yet done yet, but I think in VisualWorks it does that. you can, the split implementation is a bit flat because it's only partially ported, and it was, most parts of it were not ported by me, so then somehow it's even for me a bit unexpected how it works. But I, even on the train here, I fixed a lot of bugs, and it looks much better. So okay, let's do that. I've prepared that code here. Everything that is... So everything that has to do with fame is here. The core is also the implementation of the FM3 elements. And I have here my examples. So here we have the serialized text of the Heineken meta model that defines, for example, here a class beer with all its properties and a customer and an order. And we use that here in this code to import it. So what we do here, we get first the string with the MSE stream, and then we create the power. I'm not doing something dangerous. Change my example on the fly because actually you should just be able to say import string meta, right? Exactly. So we create a tower, we import the string to the meta model, and then we fire up a new code generator and tell this code generator to visit that meta model. So the code generator is just the visit from the meta model, it walks over every, all information there, and in the end we can preview the refactoring and apply it if we like it or not. So let's do that. Okay, works fast. Here we have a refactoring that defines a class, Heineken beer, and that's actually a bug in this preview thing because we have in there pragmas and they're not visible here. I guess that's the problem with this string replacement thing that also uses brackets for its replacement. I mean, here it works. Here we see it. And then the generated code is also there anyway. Just generates everything and it also has these pragmas. So that's actually the pragma that you have to add to tell to some getter that it is the getter to a property. Because of course you generate the classes, you can later on also add your own getters that are not part of the meta model. They're just there for convenience. And it generates also a customer. And actually this mother browser is more better made to browse this code, so we accept it. Generates the code and I fire up in the browser, which is good to see it's okay. Okay, it was generated here and now we can also see, as we cannot put an annotation on a class in Smalltalk, we put the annotation of the class in a class side method. I think that's a typical idea. So you see here we tell this class that it's an MSE class named beer that inherits from object and should be in the package Heineken. And the instance side, we annotate the getters. So if you annotate the getter, it can find out by itself and can find out by itself the setter. So all these classes have been generated and annotated, and now we...
Just a short question here. We have the type number in there, so
yeah.
Actually you have type attributes there.
It's all typed, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So can I put a string into price, or will they, the system then later on check?
As you can see, the code that I generated now will not check that. I mean, there is no check here.
Well,
but we could use another code generator that generates that. Actually, I'm working even on something where you extend the signature of the method. But yeah, you could just generate code. I mean, you can.
But what would happen if I would put in a string into create an instance and put in a string for the price?
At the moment where you put it in, nothing happens. But then you can have a method on the model. I mean, that will be in the model then, and then you can check the model for conformance to its meta model. And at that moment, it will tell you that that the value there does not conform to the meta model because it has the wrong path.
Okay.
Or better, because it has the wrong description. I mean, it does not look at these model types, it looks at the frame descriptions. Here in Speakly at the moment have just one code generator that generates code that smooth-likes it. But you could, of course, change the code generation. Next we will generate, fire up a new power, load in the classes, and then import a model. What it does, it generates code. Oh yeah, that's maybe interesting. We have seen the customer and the order, they have opposite properties. So the customer knows all its orders, and the orders know their customer. That's an opposite. And that's implemented here with a slot. So we have on each side a slot, and when you update one side, then the other is automatically updated. So when we set the orders, we set it on the slot, and to get it, we get the value of the slot. And in the initialize method, we have here a many slot. So these slots have been implemented by Tom for Rust, and they just update each other in every fancy way. Is it you? And we will see that later in the example. I will show you how this works. So yeah, it would really be nice to have a small block extended with real slots, so that you can also model associations. Again, the Heineken example, or it's still open here, right? Okay. And then we have here a model. Here we have a model. So we have a concrete beer with a concrete name and the alcohol. Is it now more? Johnny, is it 5? Should I make it 8? Oh, why? Yeah, why not?
Right?
It's like a Belgian beer, then, right? But maybe a larger bottle, right? I mean, a bit
personal. I like
Okay. Yeah, no courtesy. I mean, Fame has been designed, or the meta model of Fame has been designed to be small, so we have just numbers and no numbers with units. And also, at the moment, we have no date, so date is just stored as a string. But in the. This is a previous.
So, if we want to add new types, do we need to break open the meta model? Or do we just have
For new types, you would have to. At the moment, you cannot add new primitive types. But you can, of course, add at the meta model level just a type that has a unit. And then instead of saying this is a number, you would then say this is a currency. Like as you're used to do it from object-oriented modeling. But to add primitives at the moment, not possible. But I'm thinking about a way of annotating things, that you can add annotations somehow to extend the meta model without breaking it up. But that's at the moment future work, so it's not really stable. I had such an extension of primitive types in the previous version of Fame, but it turned out that the solution I've chosen there was too complicated, so I'm working there. Fame is also about being simple. Thank you. So here we create a new tower, and I'm faking a bit here as if there would be namespaces in Squeak, so I'm just searching for all classes, starting with these letters and having then another uppercase letter. Just more convenient than giving it a collection of classes. And for example, what we don't need to export. And then I import a model down there and it gives back the tower, so we will go and explore it now. So now we have set up a new tower and partially linked the meta model to the smaller classes that we previously generated and imported some model. So again, we have these three layers. Here is still FM3 classes. Here we have now also FM3 instances, but they model the Heineken meta model. And now here we have instances of these classes that we generated before. So we have the customer, the order, the beer, and another order. And if you go to the customer, we see it has in its slot. Yeah, it refers to DTU order slots, so it refers to both orders. Whereas when you take a look at the model that we actually imported, down here at the customer, we didn't add any orders. So if it's something as an opposite, even in the serialized format, you only have to store it one end, and you can leave away the other. Because when you set one end, the other is actually active. Yeah.
So this is causally connected, so but when I change my smooth code, your model is updated?
I know. At the moment, here in Speak it is not. For VisualWorks, I had a version that has done that. I mean, of course, when you change the meta model and then you can fire it up, that it regenerates or updates the code with another refactoring. It does not that on the spot, but you could also do it on the spot. But the other way around, it's partially. And I'm aware of that it's not fully done. And yeah, what else can I show? How many minutes are left? If you handwrite your classes,
yeah,
then you have to annotate them with the annotation,
okay,
to get a meta model.
Okay, okay, then I have also set the properties into the equivalent of the pragma.
Yeah, you have to set the pragma, one pragma on the class side, and which property that you want the pragma.
Okay.
But typically, often what I do is I just write the classes, yeah, that way, with the pragmas, and fire it up, get out the meta model, throw away the class and regenerate them. Because it's quite painstaking to write code that has all these slots and all the fancy maybe type checks in there. So I just write the skeleton, scan it, and then regenerate it with all the features. Or you can just, I mean, here in this case, I've just written, because I'm good with that, I've just written that text part. But for larger things, it's a bit painstaking.
Do you have any features to import other modeling languages like XML schema or so?
Two students of Steph have written an importer for the EMF model in VisualWorks, but I do not know what the state is of that, and that's a long time ago, we were last time we were tests.
EMF is?
EMF is the Eclipse modeling framework. It's the industry standard they use there. Yeah. It's blocked. I mean, they have 20 or 30 classes that they have made a meta model. Whereas we have only four. I mean, I don't know if I have that many.
So engage for more work.
Yeah.
There was another question.
I wanted to ask how they do compare the paper and EMF.
Actually, in the news, 2 or 3 years ago, we decided to use EMF or EMOF. And I've implemented the complete implementation of EMOF. And in the end, we just had to maintain code that we did not use. So the meta model of EMOF EMF, it has about 30 classes, for example. Yeah, a good example is multi-value properties here. Here we can just say a property has one value or multiple values. Whereas in EMF, you can say how many values it has. And in order to be able to then have such with unlimited values, they have to introduce an additional primitive type, which is called unlimited. Because the typical numbers of in computers, they are limited. So they have this unlimited type. And only the implementation of the unlimited type, we always had bugs there and had to maintain that, and it was actually not being used. So I started swiping away everything that we did not use in EMF. That's how our fame was born and that country. Okay. Okay. So here you will find in the slides a quick overview of the core classes that you find in all implementations, in all languages. We have the power, the repositories, and here we have the classes for the streaming, to stream in the models at different levels, and here we have a complete kernel. Actually, we have not much more than that. Okay, to repeat, the FAME is useful to exchange any data with other applications with MC files. And not only data, but also the model of your data. And you can, given the appropriate framework, I mean something like Magrit, or as they do it with Moose, you can also automatically generate a UI that works with that. Of course, we have all the meta descriptions, all the meta information, so we can just generate UIs. We can even generate UIs for data that we did not anticipate, because UI is based on the meta model, and you can import the meta model. And yeah, you can extend your application at runtime to however you want.
If you extend your application at runtime, what do you do with your existing application?
Well, for that, that depends a bit on the implementation. In Smalltalk, we have it connected to Smalltalk object, and then it's just the same mechanism. So you would have to write a custom integration script or something if real value changes, and if they are just added, then they're just initialized with the default value again. But of course, if you have to do this integration where the meaning of the stored value is changed, then you have to see for yourself that you're updating.
And is there a framework you import some new or an updated meta model that the needs to get a trigger to migrate the schema?
Yeah, that would be about versioning, and we don't do that yet. But of course, that would be very nice to have.
So all the new stuff will be new?
Will be new, yeah, initially. I mean, I did not have yet a client of FAME that deliberately needed that, so I did not implement it. But also, if someone starts using FAME, then has some new requirements, we can always sit together and see what we can do. Yeah, more questions? Yeah.
If you change one of the meta models, you regenerate the underlying system. So would it make sense to you to just interpret the models at runtime?
Yeah, question for the panel.
Keep it for the panel.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, thank you, yeah.
Sure.
Good suggestion.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that talk from ESUG 2008, held in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, in August of 2008. If you did, head on over to syncomsmalltalk.com and check out the podcast area. We have a weekly podcast and lots more content where this came from. You can also send feedback to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com. You can head on over to the Industry Misinterpretations group on Facebook, the Smalltalkers group at Ning. You can head on over to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. And of course, you can go to Podcast Alley and cast a vote for us.